Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for August 28th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It is a faith-filled, freedom-loving, fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday. So I've got a bunch of people on the radio today. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. We also have the good sheriff, Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's great to be with you this beautiful Friday morning.
And we also have a special guest, Susan Daniels. And Susan Daniels has been a private investigator forever. And she has a claim to fame. She's the one that discovered Barack's bogus Social Security number. Everybody was focusing on the birther issue, and certainly that story has wings, too. But you know what? They always claim that's a birther issue, and they mock you. And that may be hard to quantify and deal with. But the birth certificate is one thing. The Social Security number is another thing. And this really relates to Barack Obama when he was like 15 years old. He supposedly worked at 31 Flavors in Hawaii and stuff, or 16, 17, you know, teenager years. And then later, well, what happened? We'll get into the details. Susan Daniels, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right. And you say, well, wait a minute, Sam, wasn't that stuff all back in 2009? Are you just kind of, doing retro, or what are you doing? Well, the interesting thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, is President Trump had his convention this week. And they say Trump's a criminal and a liar, and they go on and on and on. He's a fraud. He's committing fraud. But the guy who they chose last week at the Democratic Convention to stand up and make the allegations against President Trump was none other than Barry Satoru. Barack Obama gets up there and tells you what a fraud President Donald Trump is. And I look at that and I go, what about Obama is not a fraud? And I thought of Susan. And I thought of, what about that? You know, you can joke about the birther and mock the birther all day. What about the Social Security number? It never got the fair play. But if there's fraud, I've never seen it as much as in Barack's life. From everything about who he is. Do we even know who he is? Is he a leader of the KGB? I mean, I have no idea, right? Everything we hear about this guy is like, what? Are you kidding me? Who? What? And we just can't seem to know anything, and it goes nowhere. And this just proves how deep the swamp really is. And so with that, then, I saw an article in WorldNet Daily talking about this, going, hey, the SSN issue. And so WorldNet Daily's talking about it. I'm talking about it. Susan's right in the middle of it, and she has been for quite some time. Before we get started on the Barack thing, Susan, tell us a little bit about you. You've been a PI forever, right?
I've been licensed by the state of Ohio for 27 years now. So when I came across, when I was able to pull up his Social Security number, I immediately recognized it as fraudulent because I knew how the numbers broke down across the country. They were assigned by where you lived when you applied for your number.
In other words, if you know the year somebody was born and you know the first couple of digits of a Social Security number, you could tell where it comes from.
Yeah, the first three. Until June of 2011, they changed it. But up until from 1935 till then, the first three numbers would identify what state the numbers were assigned to.
All right, so you saw the Social Security number Barack was using, and you went, wait a minute, that's from?
Well, I had to look it up. I knew it was East Coast, but the numbers were 042, and I knew that Hawaii's were 575 and 576. So I immediately knew it was fraudulent.
And you're going, hey, man, this can't be Chicago.
No. Nope.
All right. So then you dug in further, right?
Yep. I mean, that was the when I was able to pull up, and I have access to proprietary databases because I am licensed. That was the string that I started pulling when I saw that social security number, and then it was just nonstop. I went after one thing after another, and he that is the stolen number.
When you discovered that, then what did you do? Because this has got to get out,
what
right?
The next thing I did is I ran the social security number by itself. I found it by running his name in the state of Illinois. And when this number came up, then I started running the number by itself. And I found all the addresses he had lived at. And I saw that on some of the things where it said date of birth of the person who got it was 1890. And it was assigned to somebody who was born in 1890. Now, people say, how is it possible that a number assigned in 1977 was given to a person born in 1890? And I'll explain it very easily. At that time, a lot of women used their husband's Social Security numbers, and when their husbands died, I found a file where an 86-year-old woman got her Social Security number the same day as the one Obama used. Her husband had died, and she needed her own number, and I suspect it was because she needed medical care through the government and had to have a Social Security number to get it.
All right, so it's very interesting. Now, Barack obviously has had to use a bunch of different Social Security numbers, because if he got that in 77...
I believe that there are other numbers that he used. However, I was never able to complete the number. I would find other numbers with the first five numbers, but the Connecticut one is the only one I was able to complete.
Why do you think that would be?
Oh, well, because it's kind of a long story, but I'll make it as short as I can. There was a lawsuit, when he was a senator, that he reopened that had to do with black farmers who got money from the government. And it had been closed for years, and he had it reopened. And I think he got a whole bunch of money with a whole bunch of different Social Security numbers at a lot of different addresses by using phony numbers. But as I said, though, I wasn't able to complete those, so I just left those alone.
Now, you tried to sue over this, right?
I did sue over it. And, in fact, what I did is there had been 130-some lawsuits filed against him, but they were all related to the birth certificate. And every single one was turned down for lack of standing. Well, what I did to overcome that is, and mine was the only one that had to do with the Social Security number, what I did is I actually got certified by the Secretary of State as a valid write-in candidate for president. So I was actually a presidential candidate, and because I had included that in my lawsuit, and I sued the Secretary of State who had just certified me. I included that, and they could not get rid of me on standing then.
And the idea was, as a candidate, you could say, hey, I have standing.
Because
exactly. Back in 2012, hey, you know what? If Barack doesn't have eligibility, it's going to derive from the fraudulent Social Security number used, maybe even more than the birth certificate that's hard to get the paper.
The birth certificate is almost an impossibility. But the thing that people should remember is the one they were shown on TV by Barack Obama did not even have a notary stamp on it, which made it, even though it was phony on so many different levels, that made it invalid because it would have to be notarized to be valid.
All right, they're being very critical about your work, and they're, in my opinion, putting together, I don't know how to word this, but false narratives.
Yeah.
About the research that's been done, and they're making claims that are true but false. What I mean by that is they have an element of truth in them.
Right.
But yet the framework in which they're saying the truth betrays the real discussion and the real point and the real argument in their effort to debunk your work.
Well, the best thing that happened was that people tried to challenge me because I knew what I needed to find to come back and defend my position. And no one to this day has been able to debunk what I alleged.
Well,
no one.
And let's talk about the lawsuit, too. They weren't able to debunk that either. What did they eventually do?
No, but I'll tell you what. I think that it was, I think the decision, the four-page decision was pre-written before we even had a hearing here. And at the hearing, nobody from the Secretary of State's office even bothered to show up. And 3 days later, a Republican judge filed a dismissal saying that I was wrong. To think an improper Social Security number would invalidate him.
All right. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is Obama's SSN fraud. And let's talk about how, well, is anybody ever going to do anything about this? Susan Daniels with us. Richard Mash got some questions. So does Kurt. We'll do it all in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. Freedomslight.us. This event is completely free, now more than ever. We need to ensure Freedom's Light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. Freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
All right, Susan Daniels with us, female private investigator from Ohio, researched the Barack Obama Social Security number. He's used multiple of them. How did he work at 31 Flavors in Hawaii without the Social Security number that, well, he had later in life? How does all that work? We don't know. But I'm calling it the Social Security SSN fraud discussion because, really, I don't know that we have to prove that he committed fraud as much as he has to prove that he didn't. If we could show a Social Security number that he couldn't have had before, now it turns out the Social Security number in modern times is being used by a bunch of people, including a bunch of illegal aliens, right?
Right.
So at the least, Barack Obama needs to stand up and say, hey, people can't be using my SSN. Isn't that what anybody else would do?
But it wasn't his to start with.
Well, I know, but isn't that what anybody else in their right mind would do?
Sure.
But the fact that he doesn't is interesting. He can get along in life without needing it, Sheriff.
Right.
Well, I need to clarify something.
Sure.
So the number that you're talking about was actually given from an eastern state, maybe Connecticut? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Not maybe, yes. For sure Connecticut, but yes.
But,
yeah.
So do we know the date that he actually got it?
I know the date it was assigned. It was assigned March 28, 1977, and he was 15 years old in high school in Hawaii.
So, yeah, that is really key to the whole thing right there.
Yes.
And I don't mean to play games with the words, but when you say when he got it and she says when it was assigned, words are important. I don't mean to play games.
Yeah, he never started using it until he was about 26.
Right, so the point is, how did he get it when he was 15, but not use it till he was 26? That's another very strange question.
Well, he didn't. Yeah, obviously he didn't. He was not assigned it. And they never reassign numbers, ever.
Well, unless they do.
No, so they really don't.
Even for Barack?
When did Social Security number start? Was that 1913? Or was
no,
it
no, 1935. And the way it worked is it actually went into effect in 1936, but it was voluntary, and in 1936, only companies with 15 or more employees needed to have them assigned. From that point on, it was voluntary.
Well, and they used to have on them not to be used for identification purposes, right?
Right. But the truth is, the Social Security was a scam from the beginning, because even though your money was being deposited in it, you weren't going to be able to collect it until you were 62 years old. That was the beginning. Except at that time, in 1935, the average age that people lived to was 47.5 years or 49.5 years. So what they were doing is they really had not intended to pay anybody back this money.
Well, and the pay as you go nature denotes a Ponzi scheme to start with anyway.
Sure.
Because they won't have the money to pay it when it's my turn.
Right.
And that just proves the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world. But really, is there going to be any accountability here for this? Can you just, if you're somebody above the law in a secret combination, tied to the deep state somewhere above and beyond the president of the United States and more, can you just have and use a fraudulent SSN, have a fraudulent birth certificate, no one knows the origins or the details of your birth, and get away with this forever?
Apparently, if you're a Democrat, you can.
Let me ask another question.
Sure.
So what was the legal reason that the judge threw it out?
It's only a 4-page statement, but the most important sentence is that I was wrong, that it was that he used an improper, and the word is improper, Social Security number.
You were wrong that he used an improper one?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Isn't that stunning?
Well, yeah, it's proper really when you're Barack. I mean, it's always proper, Sheriff.
I was so angry, I can't even tell you.
Well, yeah. And I'm curious also,
the other thing is, the judge filed his decision 3 days after the hearing. When have you ever heard a judge file anything in that short of a period of time?
Well, judges are kings unto themselves, and
I believe the decision was written by the Secretary of State's office before the hearing was even held.
Well, by the way, did you ever work in law enforcement, or have you just been a private?
No, I was no military, no law enforcement. I just needed a job, and an investigator I knew hired me. And after I had my 2 years experience in that is required, excuse me, by the state of Ohio, I was able to go get my own license. But no, I I had no background, no training. However, I was a paralegal. I was already certified as a paralegal. I had worked as a correspondent for a newspaper for 17 years. So all these things were familiar to me. You know, the interviews, the investigations, the research. So it just, it was kind of a natural fit. The only part is there was no money coming in. I had one client. So it took a while to get going.
Wow.
Well, and the reality of being a journalist, though, teaches you some integrity about learning and investigating and the who, what, when, where, why. If you're a real, real person that tracks down the news, then you do a lot of that due diligence stuff. Secondarily,
oh, yeah.
As a paralegal, though, you get familiar with a lot of the terms and a lot of the...
Oh, yeah. I was able to go through lawsuits very, very quickly. The lawsuit I filed, the lawsuit itself was 18 pages long, and I had somebody help me with that because I didn't know everything that needed to be included in that. But I had 83 pages of documents supporting the lawsuit. My lawsuit was 103 pages long.
Yeah, let me give you a comparison, which you probably don't know about, Susan, but I think it'll be relevant to your point here, which is they just simply have... judges and professional do-gooders, swamp monsters behind the scenes protecting them. So I have a friend by the name of Hans Verlin Anderson, and Hans is a CPA by trade, and he found himself at the head of a grand jury. And so they investigated a bunch of things relating to the grand jury items that was before them. And then they also decided to investigate, and then they eventually indicted the Federal Reserve. This is back in the early 80s. So this grand jury, this federal grand jury, indicted the Federal Reserve for fraudulent money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all the judge did was smile and smirk and laugh and goes, it's a runaway grand jury, and he tossed out the court case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was still naive enough, and not that long ago, to think because I was right, because I had all the proof I needed, that I'd win. I live in a Republican county, a rural county in Ohio. Everybody's a Republican here. All the judges. Well, we only have two common pleas judges, but they're both Republicans.
I bet you don't have like 120% of the people that are registered, though.
No, we don't. But there is a county in Ohio that had 118% that voted in 2012.
Hey, ain't that cool?
Amazing, that kind of turned
and,
yeah,
and Barack Obama literally mocks and says, hey, we're grateful the Democrats are in charge of the elections.
Yeah, yeah. Something else that was interesting is in 2012 when he ran again, I used to cover, when I was a correspondent for the Plain Dealer, I would cover election nights. And the largest turnout they ever had was 72% people, and that was for a presidential election. Well, when Obama ran in 2012, 21 precincts in the city of Cleveland had 100% turnout, and every single vote went for Obama.
That always
That's
helps.
Amazing, isn't it?
All right, so let's talk a little bit about Barack Obama's life. You know, a lot of people have traced down the birth certificate. We know it's a fraud. It was easy
right.
to determine it was a fraud. I mean, they used the term African-American on his birth certificate. That term wasn't even in vogue or even used back at the time at
no,
all.
No, the Census Bureau did not approve that word. That didn't even come into the lexicon until 1992.
So we know that was bogus. But when you create a false birth certificate and you create mm-hmm. and you use a bogus Social Security number.
Yeah.
You kind of go, wait a minute, we don't know where this guy went to college for sure because the college records are sealed. None of the hospitals in Hawaii will even claim this guy.
Right.
There's very few people that have tied the string to figure out the loose ends on this thing. Susan Daniels has. When we come back, we'll talk about that a little bit more. More questions from Mac and Kurt on your radio. I'm Sam Bushman. Susan Daniels with us. She's a female private investigator who discovered the Barack Obama SSN fraud.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump hauling off on Democrats as he accepted the Republican presidential nomination at the White House last evening.
At no time before have voters faced a clearer choice between two parties, two visions, two philosophies, or two agendas. This election will decide whether we save the American dream or whether we allow a socialist agenda to demolish our cherished destiny.
What had been Category 4 Hurricane Laura is now a tropical depression with winds of just 35 miles an hour, but it's left a mess in Louisiana where at least six people were killed and a lot of homes and businesses destroyed. The storm is now affecting Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia with very heavy rains and still somewhat gusty winds. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm Dr. John Howe, veterinarian and 2020-2021 AVMA immediate past president with the latest on COVID-19 and pets. There's been a very limited number of infections in companion animals, with most cases asymptomatic or with minor respiratory issues. Here are some key tips. If you're healthy, keep practicing good hygiene with your pet. Wash your hands before and after playtime and when handling food, waste, or supplies. It's best if you don't let your pets interact with people or pets outside your household, especially if you're in an area with community spread. Exercise is important for your pet, but try to steer clear of crowded dog parks. Mind the heat. Socially distance. Keep cats indoors whenever possible. If you're ill with COVID-19, try to have someone care for your pets. If you can't always wear a mask, don't share food, kiss, or hug your pets, and wash your hands before and after any contact. For more information on keeping your pets happy, healthy, and safe, visit avma.org.
More details are coming out about Jerry Falwell Jr.'s resignation as the president of Liberty University over allegations of a sex scandal. Former pool attendant Giancarlo Grande claims he had a relationship with the evangelical leader's wife with the consent and encouragement of Falwell. Falwell denies it, but Grande said this morning on Good Morning America,
Jerry's lying. That was his game plan from the beginning, to just throw her under the bus, which I think speaks a lot about who he is, about his character. And he was aware from day one of our relationship, and he did, in fact, watch.
Weather is helping fire crews to contain California's wildfires. They've now scorched over 1.3 million acres. More than 15,600 firefighters now on the front lines fighting over 700 fires in the state, many of them in Northern California. They've burned more than 2,000 square miles, and they've killed at least seven people. This is USA Radio News.
All right, so this question for Susan Daniels. You look at this Barack Obama character, and you go, who the heck is this guy? You've got the upper echelons of who knows where secret combination, literally letting him use a false Social Security number, or at least a commandeered one at the least, one that's not from where he grew up or where he should have had his Social Security originate from, most likely using multiple Social Security numbers, no birth certificate or a fraudulent one, somehow born to a foreign deadbeat father, and I don't want to be disparaging towards his mother, but virtually a nobody little girl that gets knocked up kind of a discussion. And then the hospitals won't claim him, and we can't get to the bottom of that, and everybody and their dogs investigated this 66 ways from Sunday, but he rises to the topest echelons of the United States government and becomes commander-in-chief, commander of the greatest military in the world. How does that happen? Who is this guy?
We have no idea. We have no. We aren't even positive that Obama Sr. was his father.
No, we're not. It could be Frank Marshall Davis. It could be.
Could be anybody.
Anybody. But here's what's interesting. Not only that, you got a half black guy and a half white guy. Now, I'm not downing his heritage, and I'm not trying to be racially disparaging about this. But what I'm pointing out is, if we're going to claim that those people don't have a chance in heck with the kind of parentage they claim he has, I mean, this guy would have no chance to go to these Ivy League colleges, to become an attorney, to become a senator first try, to become president without a challenge, to have all this cover-up. He is somebody that they don't want us to know about, I can tell you that. Sheriff, how does this happen?
Well, I think she alluded to it already. Democrats can get away with anything and everything. Sometimes Republicans, but definitely Democrats can get away with murder, and they have. And certainly that brings up the Clintons. But I've said all along that Barack Obama was a big fraud, and his whole life has been. First of all, the first thing you could easily say in his own book, he admits to being a drug addict and drug user and pothead, and that he experimented with very dangerous illicit drugs. And basically, his growing up years were just surrounded by drug abuse. And then all of a sudden he becomes this constitutional scholar and professor, and he's done nothing his entire life. He's been nothing but a drug addict and user, he has perpetrated this against the American people, but he had help.
Yes, he did. And the question is by who, and why would they even do that in the first place, unless there's some ties we don't know about. Now, Barack's mother, if it really is his mother, came back to Seattle, right?
Susan? Right. Well, that's where she was raised.
All right, so she was raised in Seattle. She got pregnant by who knows who, and she came back there, right?
I believe she came back there when she was pregnant.
Okay, before she had the baby.
Yes.
All right, and then what happened?
Well, and the reason I say that is I have a copy of Barack Sr.'s immigration file, and in it, it says that he got his wife pregnant, and they were going to give the baby up for adoption to the Salvation Army. And I believe that there are no pictures of her pregnant in Hawaii at all. I believe that she came up, having been raised in Seattle, I believe that she went to the Salvation Army Maywood Hospital for Girls in Vancouver, British Columbia, and that's where he was born. She was not able to give him up for adoption because, as it turns out, the Salvation Army would not take mixed children. If you were not white, 100% white, they would not accept a baby for adoption. And she showed up 2 weeks later in Seattle with the newborn, and I was told that in Maywood they would keep the girls for 2 or 3 weeks and then send them on their way. I don't think he was born here. I think he was born in Vancouver.
Now, here's the question. If it's true that Barack had no, or Barry Satoru, whatever, had no legitimate father, meaning a deadbeat father with no capabilities on his own,
right,
and or a deadbeat mother that was just some girl that got, you know, pregnant or whatever, nobody of any influence or whatever, the chances of Barack having the charmed, covered-up life that he had, even at the age of 15 years old, getting fraudulent Social Security numbers, this has been from the cradle, protection and cover-up and secrecy and intrigue all the way from the get-go. The only thing I can think of is that Frank Marshall Davis must be his father.
His grandparents were communists, and they worked for the government. You know, the grandfather worked in a furniture store, and the grandmother worked at a bank. But they were communists all along, and this whole thing started years ago. This whole plan of him being president, he should never have been the senator. And the way that they rigged that is he ran against a guy named Jack Ryan. And Jack Ryan had gotten a divorce from an actress named Jerry Ryan. And their divorce file had been sealed. Well, somehow, mysteriously, the divorce file is sealed. And it turns out that she claimed that he made her husband go to these sex clubs in Paris and take part in this. And it was so disgraceful that Jack Ryan pulled out of the race and automatically put Obama in as senator.
Well, he certainly came from nowhere, that's for sure. Now, there's also allegations of his gay lifestyles
he
in
also,
Chicago.
Not to correct Sheriff Mack, but he was never a constitutional scholar. In fact, he taught one class as an adjunct teacher at Chicago, and it was on the Alinsky method. I have an article and a picture of Obama standing at the chalkboard diagramming
the Alinsky method. That's the claim.
Yeah.
We don't believe that Barack's a constitutional scholar. Yeah, We're just saying they try to make it out to be that way.
Oh, no. And he never attended Columbia. I interviewed four years ago, a 93-year-old professor. His name was Henry Graff, who taught at Columbia for 46 years, and he was head of the history department. He said every political science student at that school took two or three of his classes. He never saw Obama on campus, never heard his name, and the dean, he told me that the dean told him, I never heard of this guy, but I was told to sign his diploma, so I did. None of this. This would have been surprising a year or two ago. None of it is surprising now, is it?
No, but Sheriff, how does this happen? And if this can happen, what if Barack's really like a member of the KGB, or what if he's a communist operative? Is his father Frank Marshall Davis? And this is a national security discussion, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's one of the greatest frauds ever perpetrated on the American people, and. Barack Obama's life is one gigantic fraud.
And you know what I get whenever I bring it up? Oh, Sam, let that go. Don't go into conspiracy land. And I'm going, wait a minute. To ignore it is conspiracy land.
Yeah.
It's part of our history.
But not only is it part of our history, we have enough facts, though, about this thing to say, wait a minute, this isn't conspiracy when he's using a fraudulent Social Security number. Look,
He was not a natural-born citizen, which is required by the Constitution for their president and vice president. And here we're faced with Kamala Harris, who is also not a natural-born citizen, because neither of her parents were naturalized when she was born.
And that's, by the way, why this is coming up right now and why it's so relevant. Go ahead, Susan.
Right. No, I mean, it's an identical situation. She should not be named as the vice president. She doesn't qualify.
And by the way, she has as communist origins as Barack does.
Yes, she does.
So are we just going to flat out say you're a birther wacko if you don't want communists to run the government, Sheriff?
I think Barack Obama did one thing, and he certainly led the way for the fundamental transformation of America, but it's the fundamental transformation is to communism, and Kamala Harris is supposed to be the next president, and I'm really afraid that she's going to be. I'm scared to death that Biden's going to win, and I think that will propel Kamala Harris.
He could win by voter fraud. That's my concern.
Well, of course.
Well, if we allow Social Security fraud, and if we allow birth certificate fraud, and if we allow college attendance records fraud, and if we allow senatorial election fraud, then why the heck not, Sheriff? Why the heck not, Kurt? Let's come back one more segment
one
with
Susan.
One good
fraud leads to another.
Oh, boy.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
It's hard to know if Kamala Harris is a world socialist or she's just flat-out gone straight communist. Same with Barack Hussein Obama. Vote fraud, certainly a concern. But you know what? If we're not going to dig into the SSN fraud, or the birth certificate fraud, or the fact that Barack Obama became a senator due to fraud, I'm not really sure that we have a leg to stand on to stop voter fraud, Sheriff.
No, we don't.
Because you can't bring it up. You're just a conspiracy whack if you say that, right?
Oh, yeah, aren't we all, Sam? Anytime we talk about corruption in government and in corruption of a certain party, we're the wackos. We're the crazies. It's a great system, huh?
Do you want to respond?
Object to the dishonesty and the crimes they commit, then you're the wacko.
Do you want to respond to this, Susan?
No, I absolutely agree with Sheriff Mack. And by the way, I have been a huge fan of yours, Sheriff, for many, many years. And it's a pleasure to be on a show with you.
Oh, well, thank you. So we've never met, huh?
No.
Well,
we got to fix that, for crying out loud.
Thank you for your work.
Right? We got to fix that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll work on that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, look at this and you go, the Barack Obama issue, you can say, well, that's in the past, Sam. Come on, we already went through that. That was back. That's so 2009. But you got a communist running for the White House VP right now where, hey, Joe Biden's half dementia. Kamala Harris is going to be the next communist to take over after Barack and undo all that President Trump has done and take us right back down that communist USA party road. Is that where we're going to head in America because we won't investigate fraud? Can President Trump bring up this Social Security number? If Barack Obama is going to be the guy on the campaign stage last week for the Democratic Convention attacking President Trump as a fraudster, why doesn't President Trump just fire back and say, let's talk about fraud there, Barack? Hey, Mr. Sotoro, let's talk about fraud. Where did you come from, buddy? Forget your birth certificate. You know what? Let's and dig into the origins. Let's have Malik Obama take a DNA test. Your, quote, brother from Kenya. Let's find out who you really are, my friend. The president of the United States probably has more power to do that than anybody on the planet if we believe in a real president of the United States. Right, Susan?
Right. Just to throw something out to make you feel even more sick to your stomach. If Kamala Harris ends up as president, how about if Hillary Clinton ends up as vice president?
Yay.
That'd be incredible. There you go. Then, hey, we wouldn't even need to worry about bimbo eruptions if that happens. You'd have an all-female ticket.
Well, I sit here and I think, why should I be suffering by myself? Let me spread my miserable thoughts.
So hold on. If Kamala Harris becomes vice president then, I mean, I'm sorry, and then she becomes president, then
right.
Who gets to pick the VP?
I think Congress does. I'm not sure. I don't think the president does. I think Congress does. But we don't know what's going to happen with Congress.
Well, we know this. If Kamala Harris and Joe Biden win, the chances of us taking back the House and keeping the Senate would be pretty slim, too.
Yep.
We know that much,
yeah.
Right, Kurt?
I'll tell you what. I'm glad I'm old.
I mean, imagine, maybe this is one of those cases where I'd be like, oh, so we got a choice between Hillary and maybe Pelosi? Maybe,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah, one of those winners.
I think it'd be pretty neat if I could be the first husband in the White House. I think it'd be incredible. I could have dinners with all the wives of the Senate and everything like that. It'd be incredible to host all those lovely ladies, wouldn't it? What do you think of that, Sheriff?
Great impersonation.
Hey, Sheriff, do you think that'll be all right?
Just get more interns, man.
I'm just saying, we have just gone to the psychosis. America has developed the psychosis, which, I mean, we laugh because we don't want to cry. But this
That's
is just
right.
insanity, folks. Absolutely insane.
You have the I'll give you a little reality check, though.
No one knows who this guy is, followed up by a declared, known, open communist.
I would say this, though. At least, the one thing I will say is I'll be really surprised if the president doesn't win, at least, like 48 states to none, to two,
I guess you'd say,
California and New York, probably. But, if the worst happens and, somehow we get Biden and Harris, I'll be probably more surprised than if the moon fell out of the sky.
Well, Kurt's counting on no election fraud. Right, Kurt?
Well, it took divine providence to get Trump into the White House, having never run for office before. I have faith in God that he will have mercy on us. I believe that Trump will get back in again. I don't think that all their cheating, everything they've tried to do to hurt him has backfired. This whole thing keeps going like a Roadrunner cartoon. And the Democrat Party is
like
the coyote
Jerry,
that keeps getting blown up.
It's like Tom and Jerry.
Yep.
It's a little bit crazy. But all I'm telling you is the contrast has never been greater, Susan, that I can see. In my lifetime, I look at it and I say, I've always kind of looked at the Republicans and the Democrats as, man, they're all part of the swamp. There's a few good guys, but other than that, hey. And now I'm looking at it and going, the contrast is just too stark, too great.
Well, but I don't believe it's between the parties. I think we have a uniparty. I think the difference is Trump, because he is not a politician. I think he is the exception. I see the Republicans and the Democrats with the symbol of a snake with two heads. But I think that Trump he's the only person in the government I trust right now.
There's no doubt he surprised us all, because he comes from a very rich and famous background, hang out and hobnob with all the swamp and everybody else. But he has actually shocked me in the positions that he's taken, and he's had some real guts to stand up for a lot of them. Do you think he'll bring up the Social Security number, and how do we help him do that? This could seal this election, couldn't it?
Well, I have a couple of plans. I'm not anywhere near done with that, and I have a couple of ideas. And if he gets reelected, I think that there's people that can help me succeed with what I want to do.
Well, if we can help with that plan, let us know. You know how to get a hold of me. I can get a hold of Sheriff Richard Mack. We can do a lot of good. Remember, Sheriff Richard Mack's been the only one to beat Barack Obama in the courts over a non-sexual matter. The only one.
Yes.
Oh, that was Trump.
Or that was Clinton, I mean.
That was Clinton, sorry.
Clinton, yeah. Pretty good heresy there.
Traveling circus. In today's world, we could have the Sheriff Mack and our guest today, Hans Anderson, Well, what I'm saying is, imagine if you went city to city. Yeah. And you really hit on this. I mean, it'd be great, but I guess we could just do it on a Zoom call and save everybody the travel.
Yeah, because nobody can communicate or anything like that. I look at this thing and I say, there's got to be a way. I know they say that the wheels of justice grind so ever so slow and so ever so fine, but yet they do catch up. And I pray that will really be the truth. Isn't that our hope right there, Susan?
Yes. Yes. And, it may not be in my lifetime, but the truth always comes out in the end.
And you know what? With the truth, it shall make us free. I think there can be accountability. I don't believe that a secret combination is unstoppable. I believe what it requires is sunlight. And I want to really congratulate and thank Susan for shining that light on this issue. And you can say it's a non-starter issue, but I'm saying if somebody can have all these fraudulent details about them and become the leader of the free world, does it get more dangerous than that, Sheriff?
No, it probably doesn't, Sam. And you're right in mentioning secret combinations because it literally has put a man like Barack Obama in the presidency of the United States. And it's astonishing how they can do that. And they do commit murders and plunders and to get gain and to get power and to control the people. And that takes us back, of course, to what's going on today with the coronavirus. And it is a scary situation. I hope Susan's right, that righteousness will win and that God will bless us. But I don't know where our country's going. I don't know if we're deserving of any of his blessings anymore. I pray that he will, and I pray that Trump will get back in, but I don't know. I really don't think he's going to. But I pray that you guys are all right, especially Kurt.
Well, and I will say this. I believe that that he will, and the reason I do is I think that they can commit vote fraud when it's fairly close. They can commit fraud when it's harder to distinguish. But when it's such a contrast and there'll be such an overwhelming slam dunk for President Trump, I don't see how they can fraud their way out of that one. The disparity is just too great, and I think they know it. And so I don't believe that they'll win the election. What I do think they'll do, though, is after the election, they'll take off the gloves, and you ain't seen rioting yet, folks. You ain't seen those folks take to the streets in their communist Alinsky agenda where all things are brought to extreme to try to overwhelm the system. You ain't seen nothing yet, folks. Write it down. Remember who told you first. Final words, yours, Susan. We thank you for your leadership, your involvement, your truth-telling on this, and we want to have you back.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so appreciative of being on because, you know, nobody has paid attention to this for years, and it makes me very happy that it's coming to the forefront again.
Well, it's WorldNet Daily and Liberty Roundtable, the two that are willing to beat on that turret. Everybody else seems silent for some strange reason.
Right. But I appreciate you having me on, and it's a pleasure to meet Kurt and Sheriff Mack.
Is there anything you want to tell America? If you could tell America one thing in your entire life to the world, what would you say?
Be hopeful. You know, be a good person and be hopeful. And everything will end up all right. It's going to be a tough road, but it will end up all right.
The point is God is in his heavens, and he has not forgot about us. And if we do what he asks us to do and do our part, we need not fear.
Right.
All right. I love it. Susan, we sure appreciate you. Godspeed. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
All right. There she goes, doing a phenomenal job. I think we lost a good sheriff, too. Did you get lost, Sheriff? All right, we'll have to get this.
It sounded like I heard a click or something.
Yeah, and
there.
I think that was maybe Sheriff.
Maybe.
But Kurt, do you want to have a final word on this? Because I think Susan really brings it round to, in my opinion, the salient point that matters.
Well, and she does, I mean, she tells us what's really important, and she shows us by her example somebody that's, you know, she could be just worried about doing shuffleboard or, you know, going from some party to the next, but yet she's using her life to serve her country and to push forward truth and liberty and freedom and the right things. I mean, she's a good example for us to follow, Sam, right?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you got to keep your eye on Senator Kamala Harris, though. Not only is she going straight communist, but she has serious socialist ties. The Epic Times has the details on that as well, Kurt. And that's a news source that's really starting to make waves and make a difference, too. That I think is important to follow. There's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things in Liberty Roundtable Live. Our goal is to highlight them. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, good Sheriff Richard Mack. Thank you, Kurt Crosby. And we declare, you know, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore a grand old republic, but you got to expose and pull down power, not seek it. You got to seek to pull it down. And you got to stand for the light of truth. And you got to humbly stand for God, family, and country. That is the essence of Liberty Roundtable Live. God save the Republic of the United States of America.